Good evening, good evening. Welcome, welcome, welcome to your Wednesday Night Live, 23rd of April, 2025. Voice has almost returned to normal. I've had, like 5-6 weeks of messed up voice ear stuff, but it seems to be almost back to normal. So that's obviously a big relief and very good for me, for you, for the world as a whole. I do hope and believe. Oh, I don't have my hat. Oh, well, that's fine. We can do the forehead dome. We can do the forehead dome. All right. So I have a lot of great topics tonight. Of course, I'm completely thrilled and overjoyed, blessed and honored to get your questions as well. Here's a little bit of trivia. The first man to fly an airplane and the first man on the moon lived 56 miles apart in Southwest Ohio. Cleveland rocks. Ohio, 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 Ohio. It was an old, sorry, shouldn't laugh. Drew Carey, the Drew Carey Show. Ohio, 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 Ohio. Ohio and Cincinnati were my introductions to America through sitcoms. WKRP in Cincinnati. Loved, loved, loved that show when I was a kid. Loved that show when I was a kid. Very funny. And I ended up, you know, kind of in the vicinity of being a DJ, if that makes any sense. So, Drew Carey show intro, yeah. That guy is tortured, man. Drew Carey is tortured. Oh, I say this with sympathy, of course. But definitely, he is with the torture. All right. So, what else? Okay, let me see if you can guess this number. Okay. I don't even know how to ask this too well. All right. The Black Plague has a what percent approval rating among Americans? The Black Plague... The Black Plague has a what percent approval rating among Americans? I was surprised. Because sometimes people just guess, like they don't know. They don't know. However... Black Plague, two relatively negative words, I suppose. Shouldn't be hard to figure out whether or not. Is that the disease with the buboes? Yeah, bubonic plague. Thank you for the tip. Of course, freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. I'd really appreciate it. It's a low donation month, mostly because I've been kind of under the weather. So my shows have not been spectacular. Focused. Dedicated, but I know the difference. So I really appreciate you guys' patience as I recover from this ear bug from hell. The problem has been that when I talk, I can hear a buzz in my ear. So it's been a little tough to be vocally committed and to have lengthy shows. So let's see here. Did you see the study on 1 million kids? Cutting sugars and additives raised test scores by 15.7% or 10 IQ points. Yeah, if you could email me the study, I'd appreciate that. I have doubt. I have doubt. All right. Yeah, it was the disease with the buboes. He used to be a libertarian beacon, Drew Carey. Now he's got that weird Bob Barker extended microphone on The Price is Right. Can you imagine going from a libertarian Wunderkind to, how much did this cost? Diseases have approval ratings. Right. So, the Black Plague has a 9% approval rating among Americans. So, if you are, in fact, a manifestation of a horrible, vomity, lymph node back of the rat off the ships from China plague that kills 25 to 30% of the population. If you're that, still 1 out of 10 people are going to go, yay, he's my boy, he's my guy, he's the guy. Love that guy. Black Death, Black Death. Maybe they think he's a WWF fellow. I don't know. Anyway, so just, you know, if people don't like you, if you should go through the difficult experience, I may go through this someday. If you go through the difficult experience of people not liking you, as long as you can keep it to around 1 in 10, then you are at the same popularity level as the Black Plague. Hopefully that gives you some perspective. Email? Yeah, just email it to host, H-O-S-T, host at freedomain.com. All right. Tyler Cowen is an economist. I think he's childless. I don't know why I read that or that it even matters. But tell me what you think of this. So Tyler Cowen wrote, a lot of people do not want to admit it, but when it comes to the COVID-19 pandemic, the elites, by and large, actually got a lot right. Most importantly, the people who got vaccinated fared much better than the people who did not. We also got a vaccine in record time against most expectations. Operation Warp Speed was a success. Long COVID did turn out to be a real thing. Low personal mobility levels meant that often lockdowns were not the real issue. Most of that economic activity was going away in any case. Most states should have ended the lockdown sooner, but they mattered less than many critics have suggested. Furthermore, in contrast to what many were predicting, those restrictions on our liberty proved entirely temporary. Wow. That's really something. I think he's a free market economist. Wild. The elites, by and large, actually got a lot right. what can you even say? You know, we were talking I think it was a week and a half ago, with the Douglas Murray Dave Smith debate. We were talking about expertise. And I would sort of amend that. I was talking about people who have who expose themselves to contradictory information and are able to have some standard by which they can overcome confirmation bias, right? It's pretty important. It's why people on the right generally have a much better rounded worldview than people on the left. It's not necessarily because the perspective of people on the right is inherently more rounded. It's because if you're on the right, I mean, you grew up in government schools, you can't really help but have exposure to the mainstream media. So you have that worldview kind of hammered into you, you know, nails through the forehead. And then you find some exposure to some other kind of arguments or thinking or way of viewing the world and so on. And you have a bigger, wider, or more rounded perspective because of that, right? Whereas if you're on the left, then you're raised in the left, the media is the left, the news is the left, school is the left, and you can just chug along with no real exposure to any arguments that go outside your particular bubble. But yeah, they got it right. I mean, the Royal College estimates were way off. The elites, almost unanimously and with quite a lot of pressure, said it was not a lab leak, but natural, of natural origins, and completely dismissed the lab leak, though there were countless people to whom it was completely obvious that the most likely explanation, like by far, there wasn't even a close second, was the lab leak. And as I mentioned before, if they had accepted that it was a lab leak, then lockdowns don't really do much good, right? Because if it's designed to infect human beings, then I don't know what distancing and lockdowns and all of that sort of stuff is really supposed to do, right? Those restrictions on our liberty proved entirely temporary. Oh. Snap the edge of the table off. Those restrictions on our liberty proved entirely temporary. Okay. Let me ask you this, my friends. Let me ask you this. Were there losses that you experienced during the pandemic that were not particularly temporary? For instance, did you have a business or a job that did not survive the pandemic? Well, the lockdowns. And I understand there would have been, as Dr. Cohen is saying, Cowan is saying, some of this would have diminished anyway. But, you know, in Canada, of course, a lot of the big box stores were allowed to stay open, but the smaller stores were not. People lost their jobs, in particular, if they didn't want to get vaccinated. And I think that the American military is bringing some people back now. But that seems pretty significant, right? That seems pretty significant. It's wild. I mean, if you can say that the lockdowns were gone and the travel restrictions are gone and so on, but those restrictions on our liberty proving entirely temporary, boy, it takes a guy who's got tenure, who can't get fired. It takes a guy to say, well, the restrictions just proved entirely temporary. It's wild, man. It's wild how people can just say that kind of stuff. Safe and effective. Well, haven't the odds for a lot of people who took the COVID vaccines, haven't the odds of getting COVID gone up? I mean, if you follow the great Dr. Naomi Wolf, as she's gathered together teams to go through the Pfizer documents and other documents to try and figure out the safety/danger profile, got it right. That is just wild to me. Absolutely wild. Just not much curiosity or anything like that, right? Remember, you'd go to restaurants and you'd wear your mask until you got to the table and you'd sit down and take your mask off because, you know, 5 to 6 feet, 5 to 7 feet, virus patterns, sedimentary layers of death virus. Below 4 to 5 feet. Wild. Yeah, it's very tough for people who have tenure to understand entrepreneurs. I mean, the IQ drops for the kids who couldn't go to school and socialize was unbelievable, right? So, according to a study, let me just get to the summary here. No, I can't get to the summary. Unfortunately, it's going on. Yeah, children born during the pandemic show lower IQs. Children's IQ dropped during the lockdown. And it's not small. Some people have said half a standard deviation. Wild. So that's pretty important. Seems pretty important. All right. So I think for me, an expert is also someone who has a standard by which they can be wrong and hold themselves to that standard, right? As Mike Cernovich wrote in 2007, the quote economist Tyler Cowen and his co-blogger claimed that there wasn't going to be a recession. And they mocked people discussing subprime lending and credit default swaps as being hysterics. They got the most important issue of their careers wrong. Wrong. Now, I get it. We can all be wrong. I've certainly made mistakes in my life, publicly and privately. No question. But holy crap. One of the cons, this is Taleb's argument, sort of skin in the game. I don't listen to people who don't have skin in the game. So why would I listen to somebody who talks about lockdowns when they can't get fired, get paid no matter what, and work from home? Like Fauci. This is from Dr. Simon Godek. When Fauci joined the National Institute of Health in 1968, only about 6% of American children had a chronic condition. By the time he became director of NIAID in 1984, that number had nearly doubled to 11.8%. Now, after 40 years of his leadership, over 60% of U.S. children suffer from at least one chronic illness. 60%! 60% of children. Yeah, you got laid off thanks to the pandemic, yeah. Inflation, yeah, that's right. That's right. In a couple of years, 40% of all the dollars ever created were printed, right? You know, a tenfold increase in 40 years, a tenfold increase in chronic childhood health conditions, if that's not enough for people to take to the streets, I don't know what is. I mean, I got to tell you, like, I mean, I'm only 59 this year, right? 59 this year. I knew almost no sick children when I was young. I remember one kid. Oh, this is really rough, man. This is really rough. He was an amazing soccer player. Amazing soccer player. Like, they could make the ball dance. You know, like how they have those, often these Asian guys who look like they're floating when they do this sidestep thing. I mean, he could just, you know, twirl it like Beckham and bend it like the solar system. And he, against policy, he did a flip in a pool and hit his head and was underwater for too long and never recovered. I mean, that was a brain damage thing. It was really, really tough. He stayed in the school, and he was like, he made a lot of us pretty cautious, because you see something like that, and you're like, everything can change like in a split second if you make a bad decision. Everything. And there was that. I had a friend when I was in junior high school who was in a wheelchair, and he didn't make it to high school. I had another friend, my best friend, when I came to Canada. At the age of 11 or 12, died in his sleep. He had a congenital heart defect that nobody knew about. Other than that, knew a couple of kids who had asthma and so on, but not, it was tiny. I mean, I assume it was less than the sort of 9% thing, right? It was tiny. Ugh. So when you preside over, or, I mean, I'm not saying it's all causal to Dr. Fauci, but if you are in charge and there's a tenfold increase in childhood chronic health conditions, I mean, the way I think, I'm not talking about Dr. Fauci here, I'm just talking about general elites. I think a lot of them in the health field are so fucking cold-hearted. I think they just view kids as like crops. You know, you plant illness in kids and the government pays you for endless medical interventions. Endless medical interventions. And this is a big change for me from when I was younger. I mean, I viewed, you know, Western medicine as legit. And I mean, medicine is fine. It's sort of medicine plus the state. Oof. I think they view children as kind of crop. Well, if they're unwell, then you can print money through the state. Matt Walsh. He always sounds like he's swallowing his voice a little. Well, I should talk, right? He wrote, the birth rate in 1850 was almost 300 births per 1,000 women of childbearing age. In 1950, it was 106. Today, it's 55, half of what it was 75 years ago. 20% of what it was 175 years ago. We need to start taking this problem seriously before we march into our own extinction. Now, of course, survivability, you know, 1 in 3, sometimes kids, 1 in 2, sometimes didn't make it to their 5th birthday. So I get that there was a certain amount of infant mortality or excess mortality that was being made up for in the past, but it's rough. I know Trump's talking about what $5,000 give women who give birth $5,000. It's not. Not only will that not work, it'll do the opposite of working. Amish kids don't suffer the ailments common in our advanced society. Listen, I mean, maybe you're right. I did look up at one point, you know, the argument that the Amish don't have autism because they don't get vaccinated and so on. I would look up counter arguments, please. I'm begging you as a whole. Look up counter arguments. We all have a confirmation bias. We like to look up things that support our perspectives, and I understand that, and that's human nature. And you know, after a certain amount of experience, it kind of makes sense, right? I don't go and check out the flat Earth theories anymore. But just look up, right? Just look up the counter arguments, right? Look up the counter arguments. Maybe they're valid, maybe they're not. But really do try to make sure that you don't just do confirmation bias as best you can. And they tried in Hungary, they tried these baby bonuses. I think it was in Hungary. If you have 4 kids, you never have to pay income tax again. But I don't think that we can improve the birth rate until there is a certain amount of really can't improve the birth rate until there's much more of a free market in education and entertainment. So right now it's the anti-natalists who are in charge of the education and the media as a whole. So until we can find some way to get more of a free market education and media society, then it's just not going to work. Because the hammering, the message is so insistent, so relentless. I mean, you remember this, what was it, 2019? Five years ago plus, where I put out the infamous, I was quite proud of this, voted the worst tweet of all time, the infamous Taylor Swift tweet. Just pointing out that, yeah, she's 30. I hope she has kids because 90% of her eggs are already gone. Think she'd be a fun mom. She should have kids. Because, of course, the opposite of pronatalism is short-term hedonism. Right, it's more fun to go to college than to raise a baby in the short run, right? In the immediate, in the moment, right? Go to some keggers, show up to some classes, try and learn something about World War II through one bloodshot eye at 8:30 in the morning. Right, it's more fun in the short run. And of course, the reason why, I was reading about this with regards to China, because they have that one-child policy. Now their population is falling off a cliff. It's brutal. Their population is falling off a cliff, and it's really, really hard to reverse, because your entire culture, your entire society starts to adapt itself to not community, not families, not communities where there's just a bunch of, like, When I was a kid, I could go outside into the neighborhood, at least 10 kids to play with. At least, often more. We had no money. Maybe somebody would have a soccer ball or whatever, but I would be able to go out of my apartment, the flat that my family lived in. I'd be able to go out, and there were always kids to play with. Now, if you live in the suburbs, friends of mine were telling me about this, right? If you live in the suburbs, what do they call them? Bedroom communities. And bedroom communities are, you know, people take their kids, they drop them off at daycare, they go to work, they spend their time at work, they come back, they pick up their kids, then they've got to, you know, have dinner and bathe, and maybe there's some homework involved if it's school or whatever. And kids, you know, maybe there'll be maybe a bit on Sunday afternoon, some kids will be out. But I'm telling you, man, you know, I mean, obviously I've mentioned this once or twice on the show, that I had a pretty rough upbringing at home. But socially, it was paradise. It was paradise. I think women lose a lot of status when they have kids. Childless women are so desperate to say how much better it is. Also, parents seem to spend, says Squiglet, seem to spend all their time complaining. I was utterly shocked how wonderful my kids are and how much joy they bring. Yeah. Yeah, very true. Very true. Right, so parenting is a blast. So, if the government, I'm not saying it should, but if the government were to gain control of the media and it was like a pronatalist government, they would just start pounding those messages. And I mean, people just, you know, most people just follow the social cues, right? Most people just follow the social messaging. Social messaging. Oh, the exemption only applies to the mother's income, no income tax. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's wild. Wait, it'll come back. Somebody wrote, your name has been on the socials lately via Mike Cernovich regarding the Jordan Peterson psychologizing the right. From a philosophical standpoint, how do these attacks on those who dare talk about sacred cow topics, blah, 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 destabilizing? Well, I don't... You know, saying that those who disagree with you are sociopaths or psychopaths is not an argument. I mean, if you disprove their arguments and then they continue to sort of repeat and escalate and don't respond, then you can, you know, start. You can't really diagnose people from a distance. I don't think professionals are really supposed to do that. I think that was actually something that was first brought up. Was that the Goldwater rule? You're just not supposed to, as a psychologist, you're not supposed to diagnose people that you aren't treating, right? You can't diagnose from a distance. And that came up with Nixon. It also, of course, came up with Trump again. Anybody who kind of stands out, or anyone who's anti-communist. And hard leftists generally define opposition to their beliefs as either corruption, like foundational moral corruption, even though they don't often know what a woman is. They apparently know what good and evil is in its foundations. So if you disagree with hard leftists, then you are either insane or irredeemably evil. And that's just kind of a, to me, that's just a kind of massive selfishness. It's a massive kind of selfishness. All right. I like, if you're on X, I'm sure you know this, but I do like the fact that if you have a tweet that's hard to understand or you have doubts or skepticism about that, you can just push that little Grok icon, explain this post. Interesting. Blind Luck posted, it baffles my mind that after 42 months of interest-free extensions, 5.3 million people are in default on their student loans. Yeah. A woman named Emily Logan Stedman wrote this. She said, I borrowed $128,606.84. I've paid $97,858.26. I still owe $100,482.57. She says, I wouldn't trade in my law degree. I left law school. I'm fortunate to have almost always had a job that allows me to make the max required payment. Clerking did not allow that. But still, come on. Those numbers are really kind of shocking for me. That you can pay almost $100,000 on $128,000 and still owe $100,000. Holy crap. Why pay off? I don't know. I think it's very cool. I'm still quite fascinated by AI. Interest accrual outpacing principal reduction. Yeah. Yeah. 6% interest rate. At 6%, the annual interest on 128,000 is 7,700. Yeah. Whew. Yeah. So about 28,000 of her payments have gone towards the principal. The remaining almost 70,000 have gone towards interest. Federal student loans can take 10 to 25 years to pay off. A standard 10-year plan for Emily's loan at 6% interest would require monthly payments of about $1,400. Over 10 years, she'd pay about $171,000 with $42,000 and change going to interest. Yeah. Yeah, it's wild. I'm a big fan. If you're in debt, it's not financial advice to you. I'm just saying, if I'm in debt, when I've been in debt, I will, sell a kidney to put more down on the principal. Because it's magic. Absolute magic. Absolute magic. Now, if that's the max required payment, then she's not allowed to put down more money on the principal. I assume that's what she's saying, right? That there's a maximum payment that you can do. But yeah, that's some pretty wild stuff. So, initial loan amount, $128,600. Total payments made, $97,858. Remaining balance, $100,000. Payments are monthly, fixed. There are no extra payments or changes in terms. Yeah, like there's some mortgages that let you pay 13 months in a year. The extra month goes straight on the principal. Huge difference, right? Principal, paying down the principal is an economic superpower. It's wild how much it saves you. Wow, some pretty intense math going on here. Come on, Grok me Amadeus. Oof. So I think what she said, so the Grok worked it out. Initial loan amount, $128,606. Interest rate, 6.7% annual. Monthly payments, $906. Payments made, 108 months or 9 years. Total term, 282 months or 23.5 years. Yeah. And I assume that that's the maximum. So she's been paying for 9 years. It's about 14 and a half years left. The 6.7% rate is consistent with federal graduate loan rates from the early 2010s. Rate could vary slightly. Yikes. That's kind of terrifying. Now, of course, putting women in particular, men too, right? But putting women in particular into debt is a great way of killing the birth rate. It's a fantastic way to kill the birth rate. You can't quit. You can't quit. Or if you do have kids, you got to hand them over to the daycare, the state, whoever, right? That's really something. Crush your monthly expenses. And James says, I paid off my student loans early when I could. Not sure what she means with a maximum payment. I don't know. But I mean, I think we know what she means by a maximum payment. It means that you're on this treadmill forever. I mean, I when I was dating, I avoided women with debt. I mean, I don't know if that's even possible anymore. But I would avoid women in debt. I just did not want that burden. And it's one thing to be in debt for something that's going to grow in value. You know, if you go in debt for maybe a house or whatever, right? Something that's going to hopefully gain in value, go in debt to buy Bitcoin if that's what you did. But yeah, James, can you look that up if there are some loans that you have a maximum payment and you just can't pay more? Like you can't, like they're designed to lock you in for a quarter century. That's rough, man. That's brutal. Oh, and please don't forget, speaking of finances, freedomain.com/donate. I really would appreciate your help. freedomain.com/donate. I am committed to doing better shows. I apologize for the last couple of weeks. I am returning to my native roots. We'll get there. Sideswipe health issues are rough. Rough. What did the dog say when he sat on the sandpaper? Rough. Oh, as a father, as a dad, I can make these joketh. All right. Somebody wrote, the middle class trapped, $3,000 a month house payment, $1,200 a month car payments, $2,000 a month childcare, $900 a month student loan payment, $1,000 a month credit card payment. Congrats, you're stuck for the next 20 plus years. The student loan stuff is a big deal. It's a big deal. Only 38% of student loan borrowers are up to date on their payments, even after a 3.5-year payment pause. 4 million borrowers are between 3 and 6 months behind. 5 million are 9 or more months behind. Yikes. The majority of these unpaid, 83% of the debtors in default are women. Ouchies. But again, it's more fun in the short run. It's hedonistic and more fun in the short run to go join a sorority, to go have some fun and all of that, right? I mean, it's the reason they don't teach you financial literacy in schools, right? Joe says, Steph, when you put out your resume and had chief technical officer experience, why do you think you didn't get any calls? Do you think that's when the H-1B imports started taking off? It could have been a diversity thing. It could have been, like, obviously I have a very white male kind of name. It could have been a diversity thing. I don't know. And I did get a few, but it was rough. I mean, I ended up getting a great job after a while, but I got that through contacts, through people that I'd already worked with before. Man. It was crazy, man. I mean, I had more success getting jobs when I was a waiter than when I had a decade's worth of top level business experience, and not just top level, like management experience, product design and implementation, coding, sales, marketing, presentations. I was the guy, you know, I'm pretty outgoing, and I was the guy that I would be sent down to Vegas to do presentations and chat up with people in the booth and all of that. Like I wouldn't say I did it all, but I did a lot in the business world. A lot in the business world. Are you going to dip into the Oblivion remake? Are you? I will probably dip in, but I don't think I'll be able to play it. Somebody wrote, I don't know if this is true or not. Let's ask Grok. Is it true? Ist truthiness? Yeah, probably not. Rome Total War has now been cited in over 200 divorce proceedings. I've never played it. That's pretty funny. IO Research has written, what does that mean? GWAS. Sorry, I should probably know what this means. Oh, genome-wide association study. A genome-wide association study of 273,157 individuals from UK Biobank identified 106 genetic variants associated with socioeconomic status. Genetic inheritance explained up to 40% of the intergenerational transmission of occupational status. Let's see. Analyze the post. Should have done this before. Just struck me now. Yeah, seems to be valid. It's pretty wild. And that's from 2023, April 29th, 2023. What was the first game console you played on? It was the Atari, and I'm not proud that I know this number. I'm not proud. It was the Atari 2600. The Atari 2600. Was it? Well, hang on. Eric Clapton style. There was an Atari 400 with 8K, 4K? For 4K, I think 4K or 8K of RAM. An Atari 400 that I would occasionally be able to take home on the weekend. And I played on that. Star Raiders, great game. Was it a couple of months ago? I can't even remember how I ended up here. Every 10 years, I will download an emulator and get old operating systems running again, you know, just because it's... I find it fun and nostalgic. And I got the old Atari, the blue screen ready, right? The old Atari started off with a notepad, but if you put the basic module in, then you could start programming, which is kind of what I did. So I probably Star Raiders, a couple other games, of course, but I played, they had a pretty bad version of Asteroids, but I played the Atari 2600. That's one I actually had at home. I got it real cheap from a guy who was moving to South Africa, and he gave it to me real cheap. And of course, we would circulate the cartridges to play with. But I think that was the first game console I played on. My first game was Pong. Yeah, my uncle had Pong. That was probably the first one I ever played at home. It's a little dull. But I remember bum, 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 bum. I remember the Space Invaders. It was at a bowling alley, and I was just like, oh, greatest thing ever. All right. Was Pac-Man really the hype in the 80s? I mean, for girls, yes. Not really for guys. We were all Defender, which was like, playing the game Defender was like having a bag of killer bees lowered on your head and tied around your neck. Okay, somebody says, on my mortgage, you can only overpay by 10% a year. Also, if you pay off early, there is a percent penalty. You can overpay when you remortgage, though. Oh, that's interesting. James says that there are some loans out there that have prepayment penalties. They don't exist for federal student loans, but do exist on private student loans and refinance private loans. Okay. Jared says, being unhirable after being an entrepreneur is probably a hiring manager's fear that you'd start a new company at the first sign of irritation. Better to have someone who's terrified to quit. You're right. And actually, I think that's a great point. Well said. I thought you were going to go with that you'd need a very, very high-level person to hire someone like me. Like, basically, I only reported to the chief technical officer or the board as a whole. Sorry, I only reported to the CEO, the chief executive officer. And so, and I don't think that chief executive officers are necessarily going through Monster.com looking, they just probably have headhunters or that kind of stuff, right? But it could be that people wouldn't want to hire me because they thought I might take their jobs. I'll be better than them, right? Which is actually what you want if you're a manager. You want to hire someone to replace you, right? I have not watched any anime yet, sorry. Donkey Kong? It was supposed to be Monkey Kong, right? I think that was a typo because there's no donkey in it. I never particularly got into Donkey Kong. I found the jumping barrels kind of dull. There was a, and this was really wild. There was an Eastern Front game. Gosh, let me see here. I need to get it. I think it was called 1942. Yeah, Eastern Front, 1941. It was wild. Created by Chris Crawford. It was wild. Scenario editor and assembly language source code. It was one of these games where you, it was a strategy game. Let me see, are there pictures here? Oh, flashbacks! Flashbacks. I'll throw it in the chat. But it was a game where the longer it took for you to make your move, the better move the computer would make. It was really quite addictive, those Russians, trying to get all of that stuff done in the game. It was great. All right, sorry. I'm not going to go down this giant rabbit hole of video game nostalgia. Nostalgia. It was actually kind of funny. Every now and then, my wife has a strange kind of, she just sounds Australian from time to time. And I don't know why. It just happens. What's that old joke, you know? Do you know that somebody in the office has been possessed by an owl? Who? All right. Have you ever watched the movie The Departed? I never have. It looks pretty grungy. Steph, why do you think so many women are unhappy in their marriages? I know so few happily married women. Boy, I really can't get people to donate today. If you can, if you could, I'd appreciate it. freedomain.com/donate. Or if you're listening to this later, I would appreciate that as well. freedomain.com/donate. I know so few happily married women. It's a big question. I mean, by definition, I guess, right? It's a big question. I think my first thought would be that women a little bit more than men tend to be a bit hive-mindy and a bit suggestible, or they score very high in trait agreeableness. I mean, there have been times over the years where I thought I could actually benefit from scoring slightly higher in the trait agreeableness, but then I just wouldn't be me now, would I? So I would say that if women, if you're happy in your marriage and there are women complaining about their marriage, I think most women, if their friends are all complaining about their marriages, I think there's a lot of women who would say, who would feel the need or feel the urge to agree with that. Yeah, oh, my husband does this, that, and the other, right? As opposed to, you know, if there's a bunch of women, what do they call it, a stitch and bitch or a hen party or something. If there's a bunch of women complaining about their husbands and then you, as a woman, say, oh, no, my husband's great. Do you feel that chill run through the air? Right. You're saying Donkey Kong was named because the Japanese developers thought donkey was American slang for stubborn? Really? No, I'm not sure that's it. It's too close to monkey. I'm going to go with mine. You could be right. I'm going to go with mine. I'm going to go with mine. Now, hit me with a why. Sorry, like you know what a why looks like. Hit me with a why. If you would like a review of the Netflix four-part series shot in nauseating, vomit-inducing, steady continue cam, the show Adolescence. Adolescence. If you would like that. There are things to talk about. Even if you haven't seen it, there'll be spoilers aplenty, but even if you haven't seen it, there's things to talk about it that I think are quite interesting. We got a bunch of yeses, one no. Okay, all right, looks like we're down for that. So Adolescence is a very sort of heavily promoted story about a 13-year-old boy who murders a girl, or stabs her to death, and it is a shot in it's shot continuously. There are no cuts. It's wild. I mean, it's like orchestrating ballet from space or something like that. It's just wild. And the acting, of course, is fantastic. The technical brilliance is fantastic. The script is at times brilliant, at times just kind of clunky, and it is torture porn. It is torture porn, and there's no answers. It's not, you know, they sort of point out the incel stuff. Andrew Tate gets mentioned a couple of times, but it doesn't really focus nearly as heavily on that as I thought it was going to. And of course, you know, knife crime in the UK is up like what, 240% over the last 10 years. And of course they have to make it a white kid, right? I mean, that's, you almost can't expect anything different at this point. But the first show is the arrest and the booking, more or less. The second show is the cop and his partner going through a British school looking for clues. The third show is sort of a cat and mouse game between the young murderer and his psychologist, or a psychologist who's come to write a report on him. And then the fourth episode is, you know, the sort of absolutely horrifying, horrible, miserable day of the family as the trial is drawing near. And again, I mean, these are, I thought there would be some mystery. I really thought there was going to be some mystery. Like, did he do it? Did he not do it? Because he claims that he didn't do it and so on. But they have him on video. This is in the first episode. So again, there's some spoilers here, but it's pretty clear at the beginning that they have him on video. And I mean, the kid won't admit it, but they have him on video. So there's no mystery. I mean, there's about as much mystery as there is in Crime and Punishment, where Raskolnikov, I mean, you're standing over his shoulder as he cudgels Lisaveta and the pawnbroker. axes them. Now, the filmmakers themselves have said that they didn't want an answer, right? So they didn't want to say, oh, he became a murderer, like Menendez style, right? In the Menendez brothers, which I did a show on some time ago. In the Menendez brothers, of course, they were tortured and raped according to their claims. Seems to be some evidence by their parents and others, and that's why they became matricidal and fratricidal. Well, I'll get your comments in a sec. Now, it's technically very good. I mean, there's this existential horror throughout the whole thing. It's like Crime and Punishment plus Kafka plus, you know, David Mamet, brittle dialogue plus oblique references plus denial plus projection. Like it's a horror show. I mean, it's a horror series. And they said, the makers, and then the guy who plays the father, I think, was also involved in the creation of the, I mean, an insanely talented guy. Oh, the Menendez brothers are premium shows. Yes. So if you go to premium.freedomain.com, you can sign up there and you can get the Menendez brothers shows. And they're very good. Very, very powerful. Yeah, at premium.freedomain.com, you can sign up for those. Just go to freedomain.com/donate. You can sign up for a subscription. And also, you can go to fdrurl.com/locals. It's a horrible show. It's beautifully done in its own horrifying way. It is, you know, it's a torture fest. Like the family is just tortured, and it's completely horrendous for as far as that goes. I mean, it's a morality play, right? It's a morality play, and there are no answers, and that they very specifically said, we don't want him to have been a murderer because he was molested by his uncle Johnny or whatever. And the cop's partner says very clearly that you're not going to get an answer as to why he did it. But I think there is an answer. I think the answer is in the series, and nobody's talked about it. Let me monopolize the answer. Remember, I mean, it's too late. I mean, I said spoilers earlier, but nothing that I'm talking about here spoils watching the movie. It's not like giving the ending of The Sixth Sense or that famous Siskel and Ebert conflict over The Crying Game. But, yeah, somebody says, I love how Netflix and Hollywood always portrays troubled children having perfect, caring parents. By the way, that therapist in that show was really something else. But she wasn't trying to give him therapy, right? She wasn't trying to fix him. She wasn't trying to, right? She was just assessing him. Just assessing him. So the answer as to what happened is in the second episode. The answer to what happened, in general, is in the second episode. And nobody's talking about this. So in the second episode, they go to school. And the school is hell. The school is hell. You've got teachers snarling at students, students bullying each other. You have teachers snapping at the children and only playing videos of lessons, not even teaching directly. You have inconsequential, boring, useless, pointless, brain rot, empty-headed, garbage neuron, nothing burgers being hurled at these kids in slow motion digital mind frack. The teachers have no particular capacity to manage their own emotions. The females are syrupy and sentimental. The males are aggressive and escalate in general. and it's hell. So, the children, what are they taught? Well, what they're not taught is how to think. They're not taught how to think, they're not taught how to reason, they're not taught how to analyze, and they don't seem to have any modeled better behavior as a whole, like emotional behavior, people with sort of maturity and self-restraint and so on, right? The teachers are just universally impatient, and I think everyone's had that experience in school where, whether it's teacher burnout or something like that, but the teachers who just are, they don't care. They don't care. They're hostile. They view the kids as enemies. It's rough. But I certainly remember. I remember teachers like that, just escalating, burned out, tense, stressed, aggressive, on the edge, there too long, not happy to be there, trapped. They feel trapped. I think they feel trapped. Maybe they are. So to me, the real essence of adolescence is an absolute condemnation of the school system. That the students are bullied, and the teachers are bullied by each other, the teachers are bullies, and there's no education going on. It's a holding pen of semi-cucked insanity for years and years and years. Nobody wants to be there. Nobody's enjoying it. I mean, I didn't get a massive amount of how to think, but there was some. There was definitely some. Definitely some. There were some debates, some, you know, challenging questions, some arguments, some principles floating around. But it's all in the second episode. I mean, the dad has a real temper, for sure. And the dad says how he was, you know, beaten by his own father, and he said he'd never do that to his kids, and he didn't, although obviously he would get angry and get loud, and as he was sort of, as it was memorably pointed out in the show, he tore down a shed because he was angry about something. And of course, that doesn't make, it doesn't make a massive amount of sense to me that the father who was violently beaten by his own father is not a murderer, but his son, who he does not hit, becomes a murderer. I have some significant questions. For me, just sort of psychologically and so on, it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It really does not make a whole lot of sense. And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, the push for censorship, right? The push for censorship that, you know, ordinary, nice, you know, though quirky kids and all of that, well, they're just online and they just get radicalized. Just get radicalized. Things just go kind of crazy. They fall down rabbit holes. They red pill the 80-20 rule that's repeated a couple of times. Jimmy says, yes, my wife is a school teacher and the crap she has to push. Insane. She's completely done. Yeah, it's rough, man. Very rough. Very rough indeed. So, I mean, this is part of the kind of dystopian stuff that's going on in the UK at the moment, where, what are they, arresting 20 people a day for social media posts? It's, so this idea that young boys in particular are just these kind of powder kegs, and they just, you know, they, as the parents say at the end, right, like, we thought he was here, he was in his room, we thought he was safe, we got on the computer. And the idea that somebody can be talked into murder, like, I don't know, maybe there's some, I don't really know much about the dark web or whatever, but maybe there's really awful, creepy stuff on there. But that the idea that your average, not particularly tech savvy little boy is going to just fall down a rabbit hole, get radicalized, and stab a girl 14 times. I don't really think that's how, I mean, I'm obviously not a psychologist, pretty sure that's not how murderous personalities work. I don't think that's how those kinds of murderous personalities work at all. I think it's it requires a lot of violence early on, a lot of brutal violence early on, which does not seem to be the case with this kid at all. A lot has been said about the boy's acting, and it is, of course, incredible. I mean, the kid is just an amazing actor. The nice kid's getting seriously corrupted by the internet narrative, maybe preamble for online censorship. Yeah, I mean, I think it's justification at the moment, which is why they're pushing this stuff in schools. It is saying, well, unless we gain control of these narratives on the internet, we're just going to end up with a bunch of, you know, stabby boys roaming around. So, yeah, I that's, I think, one of the reasons why it went the way that it did and why it's being pushed so much, right? But yeah, if you're watching it, really look in detail at, really look in detail at the second episode and what's going on in that school. That school is hell. Hell. All right. Wilfred Riley on X writes, well, it's worth noting that alimony is only granted in 9.1% of marriages. After an initial split of assets, one third or more, of which now come from the women, divorce rape is pretty rare. Well, you do have to pay child supports because they're your kids, but. Secretary Linda McMahon wrote, the most recent nation's report card shows that 40% of eighth graders cannot even read at the basic level, one of the worst results we've seen. Nearly 70% of eighth graders are not proficient in reading. What we are doing is simply not working. I mean, that's also partly multi-language, right? Every additional language that you add to the educational system takes away resources that can be used or could be used for educating children better, right? What percent of people on food stamps are overweight? What percentage of people on food stamps in America are overweight? Is that the wife of Vince McMahon? Really? All right. I assume you're not trolling. I will absolutely, completely, totally, and humbly believe you. Believe. Believe. I don't know why. It's sort of annoying to keep repeating that. My apologies. This is a report from the Wall Street Journal. America doesn't have a hunger problem. About 3/4 of adult food stamp beneficiaries are overweight or obese. Only 3% are underweight. More Americans of all income levels die from illnesses caused by overindulgence than by hunger, yet the government keeps subsidizing more people to eat more junk. Over the past 15 years, food stamp enrollment has swelled as eligibility standards eased through waivers of work requirements while Congress and the USDA boosted payments. There are now 50% more people on food stamps than in 2008, and payments have nearly trickled. I don't know. Things that don't work. Things that just don't work. What's interesting is also China's got an interesting way to deal with their low birth rate. On February the 1st, there's a new law in China. If you divorce, the woman only gets marital assets in proportion to the amount of money she has contributed, which is quite interesting. Because men are very scared to get married, right? Once you've seen a generation of two of men get taken apart by family courts. So China's new law, effective February 1st, changes divorce asset division, allocating marital assets based on each spouse's financial contributions, aiming to curb exploitive divorce settlements often linked to gold diggers. Yeah, so the broader demographic strategy has declining marriage rates down 20.5% to 6.1 million in 2024 threatened birth rates. So, the law reflects China's unique land ownership system where the state owns urban land and leases it for 70 years, complicating traditional expectations like buying a house for a fiancé, which some women exploited in divorce. So, it's amazing how quickly things can move in a dictatorship. Yes, it really is. Vince McMahon's wife. Nice to know. Nice to know. Why is junk food cheaper than healthy stuff and, of course, more available? We could grow fresh veggies and fruit indoors with hydroponics. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know that junk food is cheaper than the healthy stuff, but, I mean, a banana is pretty cheap, right? So, I mean, it's, I assume to some degree, junk food is... It's cheaper to store, it's cheaper to transport. You can kind of jam a bunch of calories into a smaller footprint, so to speak. Somebody says, when I asked my midwife about the intelligence benefits of breastfeeding, she said she wasn't allowed to talk about it because it made some women feel bad. That seemed wrong to me. Well, you and me both. Although, I understand that some women might feel bad if they didn't breastfeed. And it turned out that it was very important. Well, and these days, right, even fornication is a problem. You don't, right? I mean, these accusations, these lawsuits and so on, I mean, it's rough, man. So even with not marrying the woman and just sleeping around with her, you know, if you start to make some money later on in life and she finds out about it and she's got the wrong people around her or she's got the wrong, you know, you're doing something political that some people don't like. Right. All right. Any other last questions, comments, issues, challenges, problems? I'm here to serve. Happy to help. For those of you who posted your questions on Locals, I will get to those tomorrow. Thank you for your questions. I will get to answering those tomorrow. I really do appreciate your they're great questions, great questions. He said, rankly praising and rubbing with scented oils the bald feet of the listeners. B-A-L-L-E-D. Actually, somebody sent me a message that said that the reason why foot binding became popular in China was because there was some empress who had a club foot. All right. Well, thanks everyone so much for dropping by tonight. Thank you for the tips. I appreciate that. freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. It's just like a week or so left in the month. If you could help me out, I would really appreciate it. I, again, sorry for the slightly lower energy shows over the last couple of weeks, but we are back. I'm at least halfway on the road to recovery, which I appreciate. And thank you for your patience as my inner ear stabilizes. And I will talk to you Friday night. No, not this Friday night. Sorry, we're back Sunday. Friday night I can't. I have something else. So I will not be doing a show this Friday night. So if you see me, I've now possessed you. If you see me Friday night live, it's just a possession. So I hope you enjoy that. I won't charge you extra. All right. Have a glorious evening, everyone. Thank you so much. Take care. Bye.